for someone. You recording?
Yeah.
Okay. It's approximately 9:06 a.m. It is Thursday, September the 30th, 2010. And we are in suite 907 of the ninth floor of the DNA building, Ganya, Guam. I'm Anthony Camacho. I'm presiding as hearing officer for this morning's proceedings. We are starting the pre-hearing conference for the appeal of Harbor Center Guam Company Limited and Harbor Center Port Terminal, Inc. This is OPA-PA-10-004. And will the members of the Office of Public Accountability that are present at this hearing this morning please identify themselves for the record?
Mayor Plasker's auditor in charge.
Anne Camacho, Procurement Appeals Staff.
And will the purchasing agency or counsel for the purchasing agency please identify herself for the record and any institutional representative with her this morning?
Rebecca Perez Santos Tomas of Luzon Aggie Perez, counsel for the Jose Dominguez Commercial Port. Present with me is Alma Javier, the procurement manager.
Thank you, Ms. Perez. And will counsel for the appellant please identify himself and any institutional representatives present with him today?
Mr. Camacho for Port Harbor Center, Attorney Walden Mancinelli. There are no representatives for Harbor Center at this point.
Thank you, Mr. Mancinelli. And will counsels for the interested parties please identify themselves for the record and any institutional representatives that are present with you this morning?
Good morning, Ms. Renna. Renna Perez Cassidy representing Force America. And there are no representatives of Force America here other than myself.
Thank you, Ms. Cassidy.
Julie Smith Ball of Carl Smith Ball representing APM Terminals. And there are no other representatives with me today.
Thank you. Okay, for the pre-hearing conference, we're just going to go down the list of the September 10th, 2010 notice of pre-hearing conference. And the focus of the hearing is expediting the disposition of this appeal and, of course, scheduling the formal hearing on the appellant's appeal. And my understanding is that at this time, essentially the pleadings have closed in that we have done everything to the point of submitting the rebuttal comments. Yes.
I'm sorry, Mr. Munch. Actually, we received the Attorney Mancinelli's comments and our rebuttal due within 5 working days. We received it on Monday.
This month?
The 27th.
I see.
That's correct.
Okay, so you still have time to, you still need additional time to submit your rebuttal comments?
For the 5 days, which we take as being next Monday, the 3rd, and, the 4th, and we do intend to submit our rebuttal.
Is that true, Mr. Mancinelli?
Oh, yes, yes, yes. We were, there was a correction in regards to the filing date for our comments that was clarified in the email. Camacho and probably in accordance with that email.
All right. So the purchasing agency will then have until Monday, October the 4th, 2010, to submit her rebuttal comment or rebuttal to the comments on the agency report. And then at that date, the pleadings will close. At this point in time, have the parties attempted any formulation other than what's in the pleadings or simplification of the issues concerning this appeal?
On behalf of Harvest Center?
Not yet.
Other than what you've put in your pleadings?
Is that is correct.
Okay. Have the parties explored the possibility of obtaining any admissions of fact and documents that would avoid unnecessary proof stipulation? We'll just go down this list. Have there been any admissions of facts?
May I address that point?
Yes.
Yes, Mr. Camacho, at this point, there has not, I believe, that there will be any communication between me and Ms. Santa Tomas in regards to the upcoming hearing. I think that the compliance, the main emphasis was to be in compliance with the deadlines and the timelines and the requirements of the appeal. Further, we are going to be requesting an opportunity to conduct discovery in this matter. We would like to take some depositions of certain members, and that will be a request that we're putting up before the hearing officer at this time. I believe that the depositions may be helpful in establishing certain facts that could also help expedite this appeal.
Okay, have you discussed the possibility of depositions with Ms. Santo Tomas?
No, I didn't do that because I stated, well, first of all, I'm not lead counsel in this matter. It's Mr. Ledger. I'm just assisting him in this matter. Secondly, the issue is Ms. Santo Tomas was off for a period of time, and I don't know when she was on and when she was off, and I've also been very occupied with the upcoming election as I'm substituting pinch hitting for Mr. Captain, my other partner, in regards to that issue. So I apologize for not being able to address this issue with Ms. Santo Tomas, but it is the intent of Harvard Center to make a request to conduct discovery in regards to to the members of involved in this Port Appeal, especially the evaluation committee members.
Okay, but I understand also that the procurement record has been filed.
Yes.
And that's available for public review, subject, of course, to the portions of the record that are sealed at this time. When was the procurement record filed?
September 8th. We had three filings. We had the main one on September 8th, and then Ms. Santo Tomas has supplemented the record on two separate filings, most recently yesterday.
All right. The reason I state that, Mr. Matheoni, is that this is supposed to be an expedited proceeding, and the regular rules of civil procedure governing discovery don't apply. The procurement record is available. However, if the parties wish to conduct some limited discovery in the time between now and the when we schedule the, it's my intent to actually schedule the hearing in this matter in the next month, within the month of October.
And I have certain issues in regards to that concern that if the hearing officer is willing to hear me at this point.
Sure.
On behalf of Harbor Senator Mr. Camacho, there are a couple of issues that affect the actual scheduling of the appeal. I want to emphasize to the hearing officer that we do want an expedited issue. We don't want to slow or bog down this, but we also want to make sure the due process is maintained. First of all, the key witness in our appeal is going to be the Chief Procurement Officer of the General Services Agency, Ms. Claudia Fodger, who is presently on emergency family leave in the United States. I've been in contact with her office, but she has yet to inform them as to when her return is going to be. I think if a review of the pleadings showed the importance and showed the importance of Ms. Afaji and the fact that she can't really be substituted by another witness, her testimony alone, she was required pursuant to law to observe this appeal, and what she saw and what took place are the key and the foundation for this appeal. So for us to have our due process in our hearing, we believe that Ms. Faji is essential to that presentation and to that hearing. And we would believe that the hearing officer would like to hear specifically from her, as she was tasked with certain obligations and certain duties by the legislature in regards to this specific appeal, specific hearing. Again, I've put in contact, I've just called her today, they're going to put, her assistant is going to try to get a hold of her today and find out when she has planned to tentatively return. Miss Cruz, who is her assistant, the second in charge of GSA, stated that she has informed the other directors of the cabinet that, you know, that she will need more time than she's already taken. So I don't know how much more time that is, but that is the position at this time. And I understand that the administrative officer has needed to make sure this continues to move forward, but we believe that her presence is important and that it is worthy of a continuance in this matter, considering the size of this procurement and the importance of this procurement to this territory. Secondly, lead counsel that's been retained in this matter is Mr. David Ledger, my partner. He is currently about to enter into a trial in federal district court that looks like it's going to prepare and take to try the matter the entire month of October. So, and then he's also scheduled to be off island in the first part of November in regards to Department of Labor interviews in regards to some matters in regards to another client of his that are. That need his presence there. So I believe that if we could have a trial in sometime in, or a hearing sometime in late November or early December, we could probably accomplish that. Further, we could also accomplish the objective of the limited discovery of which we are requesting also.
So your request is for late November?
That would be our request at this time.
No, well, Ms. Santo Tomas. Am I saying that correctly, or is it Ms. Perez Santo Tomas?
No, it's either, but sure, Ms. Santo Tomas would be fine.
Very well. Okay. Now, we've heard a lot, and there's three issues, I guess, is, concerning this request to have the actual hearing in late November. The first, of course, is, as stated, the conducting of discovery and depositions, and, of course, the availability of Mr. Quasi, and the second issue is... the availability of Mr. Ledger. What's your position on these matters,
okay. With regard to delaying this hearing until the end of November, the court does object to that. We understand that there are very often the circumstances as described by Mr. Mancinotno that can interfere with this. However, this is an essential procurement. We would like to see this process be expedited. We would like to see resolution and move forward as quickly as possible. With regard to the unavailability of Mr. Ledger himself, of Attorney Ledger himself, we would ask that Mr. Mancinotno's firm consider that they avail themselves of the availability of other partners or of associates who might appear on their behalf. It is not a solo practice, and we do ask that, although we understand that it's as a lawyer, that it's important sometimes for the primary attorney to be present. We ask that they take into account their resources in our office. We do object to waiting until late November. Additionally, this procurement in and of itself, the nature of time sensitivity was addressed in 12 GCA Section 10401, I believe, that says that we're trying to move forward with this, and we know that there's absolutely a right for people to protest, but as you stated yourself, the purpose of these appeals is to expedite the process, and so we'd ask to move forward with that. With regard to the unavailability physically of the chief procurement officer, we would ask, because we are also interested in naming her as a witness, I think that we need to make a request to her office to see if she might be available for telephonic testimony, if that's something that the hearing officer and the OPA would consider. If she could make herself available for a block of some hours so that we would have the opportunity, each of us and the interested parties, to raise their questions, then I would ask that we explore that. As far as discovery and the items that are listed in your order of September 10th, Mr. Montone is correct. We have not yet sat down and discussed that, and I'm not sure if you would also want the counsel for interested parties to be present to discuss the possible narrowing of these issues and the other factors. I would ask that we be given an opportunity to meet and submit perhaps written responses to each of your issues here so that we can determine then, are there issues we're going to be able to agree on? You know, is there a possibility of admissions? And then I assume that today, if you give us dates, you know, that would be before then, before we start identifying specific witnesses. But I agree with Mr. Montanari that we should get together and discuss that and see if we can answer those issues that were raised.
Anything else?
Nothing other than to stress again that the court would like to see this addressed as quickly as possible. It's not just in the interest of the purchasing agency, but as I'm sure everybody is aware because it's been in the media, we have several things going down at the port going on. This is an integral part of the process that the port is looking at for modernization, and we appeal to the OPA and to you as the hearing officer to please get this process done as quickly as possible with due consideration of all the factors.
Okay. Ms. Cassidy, on the scheduling of the hearing and the three issues that we were discussing, do you have a position?
Well, I do tend to agree with work that the matter should be expedited. I would say it's on the record at this point, Ports of America is not interested or is not intending to participate in the discovery process or anything other than what would be required by you and your office. So that's our position right now. And we will be available for whenever you accept somebody in our firm.
All right. Ms. Begala?
Thank you. We understand these proceedings are supposed to be expedited, and so we would agree and be able to participate in an expedited hearing. And I also do not object to any telephonic testimony if that is going to be approved. The last thing is, in terms of late November, I know that you and I are in a two-week trial at that time, and so I wouldn't be available in late November.
Well, let's go back to one basic question. Mr. Matthews, how long do you think it's going to take you to present your case at the formal hearing?
I think on the east side, 3 days, possibly up to five, depending on. I've always tried cases, and the estimates have always been double that. So I would believe normally this should go 2 to 3 days, but I would say just to be prepared, just from the high side, 3 to 5.
My experience is it's closer to 5 days. You know, the parties, and I know that your party did request a hearing in the notice of appeal, and you're certainly entitled to one, but there is the option of basically having the OPA decide the hearing based on the briefs, not a formal hearing. Is that something that you're client may desire at this time? Or?
Well, you know, I believe that the full texture of the case and the full value has to be put on pursuant to the trial, and that is requested by clients at this time.
So we will then accommodate your request for formal hearing and hold one. Just going down this list, so none of the parties have discussed any of these items, such as the avoidance of unnecessary proof and cumulative evidence. At this time, that's correct. I guess we've identified at least one witness, and that is Claudia Crosby. And just so you know, well, how long do you think it would take you to put together a witness list and an exhibit list? Everything that's, just so you understand, everything that has been filed is part of the record. Everything will be considered. When we get to the exhibit lists, okay, these are just the documents that you're going to give to a witness, just so we can identify them on the record, okay? Likewise, if you refer to a document in your arguments, or you think that there's a document that is of great importance to your case, you can certainly identify that with a exhibit number, okay? But just for the record, when we put an exhibit list together, These are the documents, basically, that you intend to present to a witness. Okay, just so we understand what the witness...
So it's not a...
Yeah.
It's not a traditional exhibit.
No, it's not. Now, you need not...
Thank you for clarification.
Yeah, you need not identify every single document that you've already filed ad nauseam, you know, make 10 copies of it and refer to one of them to a witness. So you need not, because everything you filed is part of the record. It will be considered, okay? You had a question.
I did. With regard to references to law or procurement regulations, will we need to present those also as exhibits, or will that be taken, will there be notice taken of that in the availability of relevant law or the procurement regulations?
Well, you're going to be able, one of the filings is a pre-hearing brief,
mm-hmm.
and we will discuss that in a minute, but that is where you can put your legal argument. Or at least a summary of your argument or defense.
If we plan on referencing that during witness testimony, that was my question. Will we need to present a copy of the procurement regulations as an exhibit, or will
if you're going to present a document to a witness, okay, this is just to preserve the record so we understand what the witness is looking at, because if there's a transcript of these proceedings, of course the exhibit will be attached to that transcript. Yes, you would have to submit a copy of the statute as an exhibit. How long do you think it would take you to complete? Now, that said about the exhibit list, how long do you think it would take you to complete your exhibit and your witness list?
Like, again, we want to conduct discovery, so we would ask that we could prepare one in a couple of days, but again, if discovery is conducted, then it could lead to additional witnesses and supplementing of those lists. So if that is the case, will the hearing officer permit supplementing of those witness lists and exhibit lists based upon discovery?
Well, the that's assuming I allow discovery, because I know that the procurement record has been available for about almost the last month or so, at least substantial portions thereof, that record, which is not sealed at this time. Will the parties be able, I would entertain a motion, okay, if the parties can't stipulate to an additional witness or an additional exhibit, I would entertain a motion. Okay, to do so after the deadline for the exhibit and the witness list, if you can't agree. Would the parties have their exhibit and witness list available by October the 7th? That's next week, Friday.
We would.
I think we can.
Mr. Hearing Officer.
Yes,
Mr. Camacho. I understand that, but Mr. Camacho is fine.
Mr. Camacho, I think we'll be able to.
That's fine.
And that will be next Friday, December, or October.
October. So I will put this in a scheduling order after this hearing. But okay, so that'll be October 7th for the business. That'll be the deadline to file your witness and exhibit list for the hearing. And serve it upon the other parties, to include the interested parties desire service. Is that okay?
Yes.
To include the interested parties that have entered an appearance in this matter. And let's see, when do you think you can complete your pretrial brief? And that's generally just a summary of your argument. You don't need to refile what you've already argued. This is just a summary of your argument, or if you feel that you want to put the what you feel the law supports or regulation supports your arguments, that's where you can make this. But when do you think you can complete your pretrial briefs? You think you can do that around October the 7th as well?
We'd ask for more time in regards to that.
Is October 14th a possibility, the Friday after?
after the 21st.
I would find the 21st to be too long. By now, your argument should be somewhat solidified by the filings that are to be completed next week, Monday.
Mr. Fonseca, could I clarify? You did say next Friday, right? Is that the 7th or the 8th?
Next week Friday is... Oh, I apologize. Next week Friday is the 8th
okay.
of October. Thank you. So that will be the deadline for the witness and exhibit list.
Okay.
For the hearing briefs...
It's last for the 15th, then.
Because we would also need some time before the hearing to review those hearing briefs. Believe it or not, what you file does get read, every line of every page.
As a
on October the 13th, which is the Wednesday, do you think you can have your hearing briefs available by then?
Okay.
Again, because of Mr. Ledger's in federal trial, our associate that's also helping us in this matter is also going to be in that trial. I'm also working on the election. I'm going to ask for as much time as possible because there's issues that are coming up every day. And so.
I understand that, but Mr. Mantegna, the purpose inherent in the appeals process is to handle the appeal, okay, in a manner that the rights of the appellant are met, but also the rights of the people at large, which are represented, I guess, by the need. The items or services being solicited for are also met. So we would basically have to hear the appeal as early as possible.
No, I understand that. And considering all the items together, I don't think that the request for the time extensions that we have are too, though I understand the hearing officer doesn't agree necessarily about the times, but we also want to make sure that the justice is done, due process is completed. The court has been operating for 30 years without this agreement. It can continue to operate for another additional month or two without the agreement. And but also that I think that because there is really, I don't see the exact immediate prejudice to the court at this point for these additional time extensions. And any real detriment is going to be towards my client with regards to this issue. So. And I don't necessarily believe that the time requests that I'm making on behalf of my client are outrageous. I'm not asking this matter to be pushed to next year or into a definite period of time. I'm just asking for it to be pushed to an area of time where we can adequately address all the issues and address the problems of this appeal.
Ms. Santos Tomas?
We've stated our reasons. I do think this is an appeal process. The process was built so that we could expedite this. I agree he's not asking until next year, but that's something we would expect in a court. You know, that kind of schedule is in a court schedule. So we remain firm in our request that this be handled as expeditiously as possible for the reasons that we have stated.
Ms. Cassidy? The motion to extend, or the, I'll just treat it as a verbal motion to extend time for the filing of the pre-hearing brief.
No
position.
No position.
Ms. McDonald?
No position on the request. I just want to make sure that we would have the party are also afforded the opportunity to file a brief. Is that correct?
Well, you have, I believe, the as an interested party, the ability to, I guess, comment. Okay, so you could, post your comment, essentially. Okay. I'm going to find that due to the fact that the pleadings will close by October the 4th, 2010, the fact that a notice of appeal has been filed by the appellant, likewise the comment on the agency report has also been filed by the appellant, that the deadline for pre-hearing briefs set, which I will set for October the 13th of 2010, is not onerous or oppressive, because at this point, the legal arguments by the appellant should or are basically solidified at this time based on those pleadings. So the deadline to submit the pre-hearing brief will be October the 13th of 2010. Right. They have to be filed by close of business with the Office of Public Accountability and served upon the other parties that day. Are there any pending motions?
No motions have been filed at this point.
No motions have been filed, although I'm not sure how you would take the issue of the telephonic testimony. I don't know if you consider that to be a motion, and also the procedure by which we would secure that testimony if it's allowed.
Well, from a logistical standpoint, we have the equipment to actually take telephonic testimony. Please confirm that, Seth. Is that correct?
Yes.
And in fact, we have the capability of taking that telephonic testimony with persons who are off island, and we have done so in formal proceedings before. For example, at least in my experience as hearing officer, we used that last in the JFK or the it was OPA-PA-0. 9-5, that was the GCIF's appeal of the denial of the protest for the reconstruction of JFK, where we took testimony from basically the government's bond advisor who was in the continental United States. So,
can I address that issue?
Yes.
I think that that's a two-sided issue, though, specifically. It may well be the intent of the board and the court to take the deposition of Ms. Faji as a key witness for Carter Center, and even the witness as set forth by court counsel for the court. But the problem we might have is, A, I don't know where she's at. B, there might be a viable issue in regards to actually getting her to a place that actually can conduct a telephonic I don't think that's something that I don't know whether she has access to a law office or a government agency that could provide those services to her.
Well, I find at this time basically that the it's somewhat speculative as to whether or not she's unavailable as a witness at this time.
We have to try to find out.
For example, for all we know, she's on Guam today. I don't know. Okay, I know that. You made some prior attempts last month or this month for the state of
Florida? I just called her secretary today, and her secretary says that she is still off island. She's not yet her secretary a tentative return date. I requested that her secretary, I'm not secretary, her assistant, make that inquisition, that inquiry with Ms. Safachi so we can have a better idea of when she will return. I believe that in regards to this one specific issue, live testimony would be preferred if it seems that it's just not going to be possible within a reasonable period of time, then I think then we can explore the possibility of telephonic testimony and the viability. Again, I just don't think it's something that the parties here can automatically assume that there is going to be an opportunity for her to have a telephonic testimony. We could try our best to do so, but I would again think that should be explored after there is more effort made to locate and try to inquire or discover when she will be back for potential live testimony. And if again she's not, then we can explore the possibility of telephonic testimony.
Well, in terms of that issue, okay, I'm going to hold that issue in abeyance because I don't know if she's truly unavailable. We haven't even scheduled the hearing. That's coming up next in a few minutes. But if she's not here, I will entertain a motion. Okay, if she's truly unavailable, for many of the parties to have her testimony taken by telephonic means. And I also entertain any oppositions to such motion, okay, by any of the parties.
When you're saying telephonic, you mean just over the telephone, or are you talking about audiovisual?
This would be our current capability, without any further equipment, is to take testimony telephonically. All she would need is a telephone. And we could hear her testimony, or the whole room could, and also ask questions and receive her responses. Okay, so that's the capability. But nevertheless, if she's truly unavailable and if any of the parties find that she's a necessary witness, then I will entertain motions to hear her testimony via telephonic conference during the formal hearing. Yes.
May I inquire, I do believe both of us are intended to list Ms. Akpaji as a witness, and given the authority of the Office of Public Accountability to compel attendance and testimony of government employees, I'm just wondering the mechanism once we do decide a hearing date. Will there be a notice sent out by the OPA stating that she, you know, her presence is requested or demanded, so that we can then verify officially through the OPA her availability or non-availability by virtue of the response from her office?
Okay. The in terms of, I believe there's a subpoena process. You can request that she be subpoenaed, okay, just like you would do in the court. There is that process in the reg and the law. And basically that's up to the parties to subpoena the parties they feel that need to attend. Speaking of that, though, okay, I do encourage the parties to work together to ensure the availability of witnesses without subpoena. Okay, for example, for the purchasing agency, if you have witnesses that you truly don't object to them being present and he's requesting that they be present, I ask the parties to work together to essentially assure their presence without subpoena. However, if you feel the need for the subpoena, that is available to the parties as well. Okay? And of course, we have to entertain those requests for subpoenas within a reasonable time so they can be processed through our office and the parties can serve them.
I would say that with regard to Ms. Akpaji, I don't think it's a matter of any disagreement between counsel. It's just the acknowledgement of the fact that she's off island as represented by Mr. Mantanonia and the... he doesn't know when she'll be back. I think that it may be a necessary administrative process to confirm her availability.
Okay. But like I said, that is one of the things available to the parties. Okay. So this is for October the 13th will be for the pre-hearing briefs. Motions?
With regard to motions, I asked Mr. Mantanonia then if he is intent on taking depositions to submit that motion so we can make a response on that with regard to whether or not additional discovery should even be a part of the process.
Do we think that we can get the motions filed by October the 8th?
Motions for...
Well, just motions is final. If there are preliminary issues, okay, that you feel need to be addressed prior to the hearing, we can have the filings done by October the 8th for those motions.
Of course, that's about all I have to get it done. I'm just... notifying us that another time. I'm just like everybody else, we've got a lot of other pressing issues this month.
Well, I'm gonna,
in fact, I've got to trial myself this month also.
I will set the the motion deadline for October the 8th. Same as the witness and exhibit list. Oppositions will be due by October the 13th. Any motions? And replies will be due by October the 15th.
Mr. Contra, can I advise the court of an issue?
Yes.
As I can see the dates coming in, the potential hearing dates that are being set. Also, I'm currently going to be trying an 8-year-old case in Superior Court against 3 different counsels that is going to go to trial between the 23rd of October to about the 28th of October. So, just for the purpose of scheduling, just letting you know, that's where I'm going to be at this point. So, I know that unavailability of one party, I'm one partner, then this one, myself, I'll also be in Superior Court before Judge Ray Anderson in an 8-year-old case that's finally going to go to trial.
Well, let's talk about the date of the formal hearing. And we start on October the 18th, Monday.
We have no objections to that.
I would object to that. I don't think I'll be prepared to do so. I, like I said, I have another child I have to prepare for also, and that one's been set for 8 years. Yeah, their associate that's working on this matter will also be in trial in my office. They'll basically not have anybody in our office to try this matter. Mr. Cabot is also sick. He was out on medical leave. Mr. Ledger will be in trial, so there will not be anybody available from my office to try this case.
Ms. Cashman, on the October the 18th hearing date? Do you have a position?
Well, someone from our office will be available
if they can,
so we don't have an issue with that.
Ms. McDonald?
Well, same thing, I won't be here, but someone from my office will
come to the
hearing.
So the only issue is with you, and
I won't be here, and my partner won't be here.
You're saying you...
won't be here, and my other partner won't be here, so...
But you still have other attorneys in your firm.
I have one last lawyer in my firm, and she has nothing, does know nothing about this case at all. She hasn't been involved with it, and my clients don't know her, would not permit her to be involved in this matter.
Mr. Camacho, if we would not object to moving it by 1 week from the 18th to the 25th, but I also bring that up because I'm wondering if our replies, or either party's replies are due by October 15th, would we be expecting a decision from you on the motion that would allow us enough time to, I guess, accommodate whatever your decision might be?
Well, I'm trying to schedule the hearing, okay, and then possibly schedule well, it depends on the motion. If it's just procedural, okay, for example, the telephonic witness issue, that's something I believe I could decide on the record just prior to having the hearing. Most of, my experience, most of the motions that have been filed by parties have been procedural. Witnesses, access to records. You could even put a motion to continue, for example, okay, which if you wanted the decision decided on the record, that would be done as well. But typically those are decided just prior to the hearing. You say the day of the hearing, okay. If it's something more substantial, then usually there's or something that requires an evidentiary type hearing to decide, that's usually when I would schedule, depending on the motion, a separate hearing date for that. For example, a motion to allow the procurement to go forward despite the protest. That would definitely be evidentiary and require its own day, okay? But I don't know what motions you're going to file, so for now, I'm really going to schedule the motion hearing date the same day of the hearing, okay?
Motion hearing date will be?
The same day of the hearing, the hearing on the merits, and it'll take place just before that, unless it's something
major. I think there's going to be a joint request, that we would probably join in the sense of Tomas' request for a hearing before the hearing, so it allows us to fashion our presentations of our cases to.
Actually, that question was that was my question. It was answered by Mr. Camacho.
Would you prefer a separate hearing date?
I think that would depend on the types, as you said, the types of motions that are filed. So at this time, no, we would not request it. I think if it comes up due to the nature of it, then I would certainly have no objection to submitting a request for a separate hearing date, as if, you know, if Mr. Mancinone wanted to do that after we knew the nature of the motions. But if you believe that procedurally you'd be able to decide them in a manner on the date that the hearing starts so that we could proceed, then we'd want to proceed.
Yeah, that's historically how these hearings have gone. Mm-hmm. Okay. Just judging by the types of motions that I've been making. Okay. All right, so back to the discussion as to when we can have the hearing. You say the week of October the 18th, October the 27th is not good, or October the 22nd isn't good for you?
That I'm preparing for another trial that's going to go to trial for a week in Superior Court. That case is 8 years old. It's three boxes filled, and I'm going to have a lot of expert witnesses that are going to be trying that case.
Despite the request, I find that due to the expedited nature of this hearing process and the fact that the appellant is represented by a firm, I'm going to set the hearing, a formal hearing on the merits of the appellant's appeal in this case, October the 18th of 2010, starting at 9 a.m. in the morning. And I will submit an order either this afternoon or tomorrow, setting forth all these dates and also setting forth other dates relative to the October 18, 2010 formal hearing on the appellant's appeal in this matter. Next item on the list basically is for do we need to adopt any special procedures to manage potentially difficult issues?
At the risk of beating that horse, just the telephonic.
Okay, well, we've already discussed that. But I have to say, is there anything else? Are there any complex issues in this case that you feel need to be addressed this time? And I think the only unusual proof problem is the availability of Ms. Quads, is that correct? At least at this time. Okay, and we've already discussed that. As for the presentation of evidence, as the order will state, it'll be in the standard of I will allow the appellant presented for the parties to present an opening argument. The appellant will, of course, issue the will go first, followed by the purchasing agency, followed by comment of the if any from the interested parties, and that'll be followed by the appellant's case in chief, in which the appellant will then present their case. when they have rested, the purchasing agency will present their case in chief. And when they have rested, the appellant will then make their closing argument. The purchasing agency will make their closing argument. The interested parties will then allow to comment. And the appellant will then make their any rebuttal arguments that they may have.
That's the appellant?
Yes. Are there any other matters that may facilitate the just, speedy, and inexpensive disposition of this action? No? Okay. And at this time, to the best of the party's knowledge, are there any persons that you anticipate attending the proceeding who might require any special accommodations, auxiliary aids or services at this time?
None known at this time.
Okay. But please, if you become aware, please ensure that you advise Ms. Ann Camacho so we can accommodate such special needs or requests. Okay. I'll issue a scheduling order either today or tomorrow. Are there any other issues that we need to take up?
None at this time.
Ms. Cassidy?
You're thinking that this is
going to
be about 3 to 5 days?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, that's correct. Approximately 3 to 5 days. My experience is closer to 5 days.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Then this hearing is now closed. Thank you. We're off the record at 10 o'clock.